I'll just talk.
Radio.
Gotta flow through. Flow through, Lord. You have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so glad that you joined me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. On today, we're just so excited that each and every one of you have joined me on today. Truly, I just want to give a warm welcome to all of my listeners from around the world, those that are there in the Philippines, those that are there in Africa, and all of the outlying areas and countries as well here in the United States. I am so glad that you joined me on today. I tell you, child of God, God is doing some miraculous things in and through the life of his people. And God wants us to center ourselves and position ourselves in a place in which God can just profoundly and profusely pour out his blessings upon his people. Yes, you. God wants to pour out a blessing in and through your life. But it's vital and it's key for us to be found in the faith, doing the work and the will of the Lord. Yes, we're living in times where there are many distractions and many things that are coming up against the people of God. But I come to tell you on today a word from the Lord. God wants us to focus our minds and focus our spirit in on the things of God. There are many amusements that are going on and allurements that are going on in the world that's trying to allure and to amuse the minds of the people of God. And so we as children of God, we must continue to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. What are some of the temptations that are trying to grab at the attention and the heart and the mind of the people of God? Well, some of those temptations are many things that are trying to war against the eye gate, our eye gates. They're trying to get our attention. That's trying to get us consumed in the various different things that are going on, even from the news, even from the crisis and the recessions that are going on even well today. I come to tell you, child of God, God is on his way back. Oh, he's on his way back, and he's looking for a church that is without spot or without wrinkle or any such thing. God is looking for his people to get themselves together. And guess what? God is concerned with the iniquity that is even prevalent sometimes within the body of Christ. He is concerned with that. That we deal with our issues, deal and look deeply down within our hearts, mind, and soul, and allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, to search our mind, that we can begin to really just to resolve issues that are within the hearts of mind of the people of God and bring closure and allowing the healing virtue of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to heal us in all of these places that are hurting or all of our disappointments or all of our letdowns and all of the things that we have gone through as children of God. Even spiritual warriors that have been warring in the spirit realm, you must deal with some of those offenses and deal with those things that you have rubbed up against you the wrong way, that have overthrown you in your spirit and in your mind. We are still yet human in our humanity. We must deal with those things and begin to look deeply at those issues and tell the Lord, yes, I've been hurt. Yes, I've been let down. Yes, my expectation has been totally, and the outcome has not been what I expecting it to be. But God, I still yet have a yet praise. But even in that yet praise, we must really look at the serious things that are weighing down in our spirit, weighing down in our mind, because the Bible said it's the little foxes that will destroy the vine. And in essence, what he is saying is the little thing that get up under your skin that really, really bother you that you're not dealing with. And we need to bring resolve to those things and begin to tell God, yes, God, I have been hurt. Yes, God, I've been overthrown in this area, been let down, and even disappointed by the outcome of even the church or some of the matters that have gone on. And, Father, I ask, oh, God, that you would just heal and strengthen me and give me the strength that I need to be able to be the man or woman of God that you called me out to be. Because God is trying to get us to go to that next level and to be the men and women of God, because we are positioning ourselves even in the last hours. God is doing some phenomenal things in and through the life of the people of God. And in this fifth hour, this last hour, God is really going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. But in that pouring out, we must, children of God, hear me now, we must keep our hearts and our mind clean. Now, the scripture also say for us to retain the word. We must retain the word of God in and through our life as never before, because retaining the word of God, that word is going to wash and cleanse us. Now, let's look at the amusement and the allurement even of the world, because what happened is that it would get us so pulled away from the places where God wants us to be, that we're not in a position to hear nor receive all that God is doing in and through our life, because many things are pulling at our attention. Now, how can you handle that? What do we need to do as children of God so that we can stay centered in the center of the will of the Lord? Well, number one, you want to begin to see the things that are pulling your way and begin to see where their priorities at, even in your life. Now, there are things that we have to do, and we cannot get away from doing those things. But what we have to do is make up our mind that when we have to step away to take care of these issues, take care of the issues, and then get right back into that place, into that position in which God has called us out as children of God. And so in doing that, then you will not begin to miss out on reading your word, miss out on that daily devotion that God so desires from us as people of God. And when we begin to stay in that daily devotion and the word of God, it has a multiplicity of things in which it is doing in and through the life of the child of God. Now, number one, it's washing us. It's daily washing us. Number two, it is daily fortifying us because we are reading it. And number three, it is increasing our faith, because faith come by hearing, and hearing the word of God. When you're reading it audibly, out loud, and things, you are able to hear the word of the Lord, and what it begins to do is to increase the faith of the child of God. And while it is increasing your faith, then is it enabling you to go to the next level? Oh, shalaraboshinda. Oh, God. God wants to take us to that next level, child of God. And there's no time to faint, and there's no time to get caught up in the vicissitudes of this life. We must recognize that God is going to continue to bless his people with plenty in the midst of a famine. And we must recognize that what we have to do is first put our faith and our hearts in on the things of God. Now, let's take a look at here. Now, Jesus knows the fact that we are being challenged and we're up under siege and up under a battle. All of the precious saints are up under a battle and fighting one thing or another. Now, one of the greatest responsibilities for a child of God is to share freely with others which they have received from the Lord. Now, as we was talking earlier, we was talking about the things of sustaining. We still in the midst of a famine or in the midst of a starvation and the midst of a recession, we still must be people of sharing and giving one to another. Now, if we have received this blessing and we don't share with them, then we fall into a sin that is described by James over in 4:17. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. And so we as children of God, we must recognize that we still yet, in the midst of this recession, we still have to give. Giving of our tithes, giving of our offering, and making sure that there's meat in the house of God. And then also of sharing with our neighbors or sharing with our families or sharing. And when we think in terms of sharing, you can share a good word to someone. You may say, well, I don't have money. I don't have a lot of money, and I'm just barely making it myself. Well, you can share, child of God, in other ways other than money. You can make a meal with the money that you have or the food that you have and invite somebody over and say, come over and share with me and eat this meal with me and things because I want to be a blessing unto you. That's one way. Or after you receive the meal from the house of the Lord, which is the word of God, is picking up the phone and calling someone who's not in the house of God and say, we had such an awesome time at church, and I want to share a meal with you, what was said, what was given unto us and things, and I want to share that with you and things, especially a backslider, especially someone that is not in the house of the Lord or someone sick and shut in. That's another form of sharing with others, or being able, if you know that someone is in need and they find themselves being greatly challenged, and just sharing or helping them would be a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And so as we look further and things and begin to greatly understand that God really wants us to share and to give. And see, now let's take a look at Jesus. Jesus came to share with the world several things that has been recorded also over in the book of Isaiah 61, verses number 1 through verse number 3 and things. And let's take a look at some of the things and things that Jesus shared. First of all, Jesus presented the good news of consolation. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted people are everywhere, and even more so because of the recession and many things that are going on and that are happening, people losing loved ones and things. And so we can share consolation with our neighbors or with our families or with our friends, just a word of consolation to help them, or those that are in great destitute or great challenges in their life whose heart has been broken because of various situations within their own lives. We can come and give them the good news of consolation. And we can find brokenhearted people even in our church. As Jesus preached a message of consolation to the people of the first century, so we must do the same for those at the beginning of the 21st century. We must continue to share the good news that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, let's look at another point in which he shared. Secondly, Jesus presented the good news of emancipation. He came to preach deliverance to the captive. Jesus said, whosoever commits sin is a slave of sin, John 8:34. People who live up under the bondage of sin needs to hear the good news that they can experience emancipation or liberty. And so it's important for them to know that you don't have to live in the lifestyle that you're living in. Jesus Christ came and came to set us free and to give us life, and that more abundantly. Now, thirdly, Jesus presented the good news of illumination. He came to give sight to the blind. Spiritual blindness is even worse than physical blindness. Jesus restored restored the sight of many people who were physically blind, but not only did he come to restore the sight of those that are physically blind, but he also came to primarily to give sight to those who were spiritually blinded and could not see afar off. God is still opening the eyes of his people and those that are asleep and those that have who need to be awakened. I remember one day that God gave me a beautiful analogy and a beautiful revelation. He showed me something that I thought was just kind of blew my mind. And he showed me people that were standing up. They were standing up, but they were still yet bent over. And they were bent over like they was had no life in them, but they were just almost like a mannequin, but they was bending over. And when I seen this, and God came up and started blowing on these individuals, and when he began to blow on these individuals, they came alive. And it looked like it was just like clay, a molded human being in a clay form. It was like in a clay form, and they were bent over. But when Jesus Christ, when God blew into them, it brought forth life into their being. Now, that just blew my mind when I seen that. I said, whoa, Lord, you have people that you are still yet awakening and bringing them forth into life. And such as it is, children of God, when we share our witness. Now, let me point out clearly, many people today, there's people that have heard the word of the Lord. There's people that don't want to hear the word of the Lord and things. And the Lord showed me something. He said the people really at right now at that stage, they really don't want to hear the word per se, but they are listening and looking for a story. Now, we can see that. Esquire, we can look at that on the news. We can look at that on the media, the internet, YouTube. Everybody's looking for a story. You can see it on the media in the multiplicity of the mediums in which they have the media. And you can see people are sitting on the edge just to hear a good story. Now, you are, yes, you are a bearer of a story that Jesus Christ has given to you. That's your testimony. Now, when God began to share with me that when we begin to share our testimony with others of the miraculous power of God, they will see and hear the demonstration of the power of God being exuded in and through your life. And that's going to cause them to leap. Their faith is going to leap with joy in saying, oh, my God, truly, this is a miracle of what God has done. Now, I have been saying I was going to write a book and write these books about the angels in which God had allowed me to see. Oh, child of God, it was just so phenomenal in things. And many things, you know, God has given to us these things and allow us to see things. And it's not for naught. It's for us sharing our story. And back to the angels, I have seen them on numerous occasions in my life. Have I seen these angels in different forms that God has showed me these angels in various stages in my life, and I need to really write about that. Well, people are waiting to hear that type of story, and you have a story of what God has done, and your story is of great weight and value, and God is just waiting, and people are just waiting for you to share your story with them, because that would ignite their faith, that would stir their faith, and things as you begin to speak of the goodness of the Lord. Remember, the woman who was there at the water pot had at the well when she left her water pot and ran, and because she had had an encounter with Jesus, and she left her water pot and she ran into the city. Well, what we have to do as children of God, we need to sometimes leave our water pots and just run into the spiritual cities that God has given to us and to share with them what God is doing or have done in and through our life. Because guess what? God has done some phenomenal things for the people of God, and he's done some phenomenal things for you. Now, some of the things you may think, oh, well, that's not a whole lot, but it's a whole lot to somebody else that is in a battle, or that one that is trying to grab a greater understanding of God and how God is working in and through their life. Don't you know, child of God, that that story that's down in your heart, someone is waiting to hear it, to unite their and ignite their faith and inspiring them to go closer to God and to the things of God in which God has called them out to do. Now, let's take a look. And so before we do that, why don't you share your story? You have a great story. Share it with somebody. Share it with a stranger. Just, you know, maybe standing by the bus, waiting on the bus, or standing in the line at the grocery store. Just share your story of what Jesus have done for you. That is the witness. That's when we become that written epistle, read and known upon among men and things, because we're sharing our story. That's just one little aspect of it. There's many more aspects. Now, so, and that would illuminate someone's heart and illuminate someone's mind about how God would move even in the midst of their life. Now, let's take another look. And then fourthly, Jesus presented the good news of liberation. Now, he came to set the captives free. And it says to set at liberty those who are bruised. The bruised people are those who are downtrodden. Now, we know in this recession, many people who have lost their jobs, lost their livelihood, and lost their homes, and lost many things that they have, they are downtrodden and oppressed in this here recession. And we must recognize oppression is much deeper than slavery. It comes to bind, it comes to press down and to hold down and things. It means that if that person have been crushed, or that person feel totally defeated or wiped down by, whipped down by life. But guess what? Jesus came to give hope to those who are hopeless. And so we must begin to share with them, those that are hopeless, what Jesus has come to do in and through the lives of his people, in spite of what we are facing, in spite of what you're facing. Jesus Christ has come that you might have life, and that more abundantly he has come to that. And so we must recognize that we're of a station that you may find yourself even right now. I'm talking to you, child of God, right now, whether you're facing foreclosure, whether you're facing the possibility of losing your job and your livelihood, or you may know people in your community or face communities that are facing these types of challenges within their lives, those that are being backed up against a wall and really facing some hard tests and trials through this time. We must tell them and share with them that they must, above all things, hold fast to their faith. No matter which way this life is taking them and the turns and the twisting that they're finding themselves in their life right now, they must recognize that God is still yet in control and find a reason and a way to give him the praise. And things, we are not praising him for the destitute or the oppression, but we can praise him for what he is doing in and through our lives, or who he is. And sometimes it's hard to find a praise when you are there in the midst and the heat of the battle. But I tell you that when you can begin to think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for you, you know, let your soul cry out hallelujah. You know, we praise God for saving us. Yes, you may be challenged with various things, but the goodness of the Lord is still yet. He said he makes us rich and add no sorrow. Begin to openly declare, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Oh, Randa Bashanda. You don't have to want, even in this recession, because you're rolling your cares upon Jesus. Oh, yes. You might be finding yourself in so many things that people are saying that they're not going to help you, or people may be saying that they're not going to come in work with you or work with you or help you in various things. But you know what? God will raise somebody up to help you. God will open up a new door. God will make a way out of nowhere. That's the type of God that we serve, that he's always making a way out of no way. All we need to do is begin to go back to the Creator and go back to him and say, God, what do you want me to do in this? You know, I know you want me to be still and see the salvation of the Lord, but Father, what do you want me to do while I'm waiting on you? Show me how to hold myself. Show me how to praise you while I'm in the midst of this test or this trial or situation. Show me how to get in tune with you and walk softly before you. And then show me how to be that man or woman of God that you called me out to be. And when you begin to talk to God in that manner, God will begin to reveal unto you and surge you with a new fresh praise, and he'll begin to overtake your heart and mind and soul with his goodness, and he'll begin to show you how much he loves you. He'll lay it upon somebody's heart to come over and bless you, or to come along the side of you to help you and things, because you purpose in your mind not to charge God foolishly. I have a book that's going to be coming out very soon. It's called Prayer is the Vehicle, and Prayer is the Key and Vehicle to Release the Blessings of the Lord. And in that book, it's going to be talking about various things of how we can tap into God during these moments and things. And so I will let you know when the book comes out, and I want you to get one of those books because you need it in your library. It is going to be a blessing to you. But we as children of God, we must sustain ourselves through praising of God and saying, God, I'm going to turn my face towards you. I'm going to keep a praise in my heart. I'm going to cry out to you. You are my righteous Savior. You are my Lord, you are my King, and I'm putting my trust and my confidence in you, and I know that you're going to make a way out of no way, and that you will pull me all the way through, even in this situation. I'm trusting you to make that way for me, God. And when you begin to talk to God and tell God, Lord, I'm trusting you. You know, no matter what's going on, I'm putting my confidence in you. And that's a declaration of your faith. You saying, God, in the midst of this thing that's trying to come up under siege and attack my mind and attack my body, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust your will. I'm going to trust your keeping power and things that you are. And one of the things, children of God, I hear the Spirit of the Lord is saying to my heart to share with you, you got to keep your mind stayed on Jesus. He said that I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Now, that's key for us as children of God during these particular times, is keeping your mind on the Word, keeping your mind on Jesus, because he said he'll keep you in perfect peace. Because remember, the adversary, the enemy of your own very soul, he's a deceiver of the brethren as well as an accuser of the brethren. And so he wants to deceive and accuse. And so if you start finding accusations that are coming in your mind and the enemy is trying to give out accusation, you have to shake that thing off, because that's the adversary that's coming trying to falsely accuse your brother or your sister and point out their faults or their shortcomings. God wants us to keep a clean heart. God wants us to keep a clean spirit, heart, and mind. In spite of what you're going through, he still wants you to forgive them. And I hear the Bible saying, Stephen said, forgive them, for they know not what they do and things. And so we have to forgive them. When people offend you, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They didn't know that they violated you. They didn't know that they hurted you. They didn't know that they have defied your trust and your loyalty and your faithfulness towards them, forgive them and let them go of that offense. That's how we as children of God stay clean within our own heart, mind, and soul. Now, let us look back. We talked about a couple of things. Let's look at the fifth thing that Jesus gave unto over there in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. He also, the scripture said that Jesus presented the good news of salvation. He came to preach the acceptable years of the Lord. Jesus came to announce that the day of salvation had come. Jesus has provided the power of redemption and new abundant life through the Holy Ghost. Now, prior to that time, it had not came. That was what the patriarchs was looking for and things, and was able to see it afar off, but they were not able to engage in it and partake in it and things. And so we, as children of God, we are privileged people to partake in salvation. Now, this is the thing that is now today, is the day of salvation. And so every man, woman, boy, or girl, they can, all they have to do is to repent of their sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they can live in this abundancy of life in and through the Holy Ghost. Now, let's take a look here, and I want to read in your hearing a couple of scriptures. Now, I'm going to take you over to the book of John, John chapter number 10 and verse number 10. And I want to read that in your hearing when we're talking in reference to the abundancy of life. Let's take a look here. It says, John 10 and 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." And so here, Jesus is saying that, you know, I don't want you just to live in the mundane aspect of life, but I want you to live in that place of a more abundancy. And so what we do, how can I get to that place of that more abundancy? Well, Pastor Orm will share it with you. What you have to do is daily get up and declare, I'm living today my life in the abundancy of life that my Lord has given unto me. And every day when you wake up or even throughout the day, God, I'm living in your abundancy of life. I'm stepping from the mundane, and I'm stepping into the abundancy of life. And as you declarate that and speak it out of your mouth, then guess what? That he's already said it through his written word, and now he's watching over to perform it. So the abundancy of the performance of the abundancy is not on you, but it's on God to begin to perform that abundancy in your life, because you declared it, you released it. The Bible said, my word would have gone out of my mouth and then that will return unto me void, but it will accomplish that thereunto where I have sent it. And so you sent the word out. Now it's going to accomplish that whereunto it has been sent. It's been sent in front of you. It has been sent into your location. It has been sent into your locale and then your locus of experience. It has been sent right there into the place of your theological experience. It's going to be sent right there. Have you living out the word? You're not living out of tradition. You're not living out of the past, but you're living out of the written word of God that have preceded. And when you have something that has been preceded, it means that it's still alive, it's still moving, it's still active, and it's still bringing forth power and life. And so when we begin to speak the word of God, you are speaking out of that thing that it has been preceded forward out of God's mouth, and is bringing forth life and things. And so when you speak the written word of God, you are speaking forth the proceeded word of God that is bringing forth and creating and bringing forth fruit in your life. Come on and shout hallelujah. And so that's a live word that is bringing forth fruit. Now let's take a look at another passage of scripture that the scripture is speaking over in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. He told the children of Israel and those that he said for them to go back to Jerusalem. And he said, tarry there until you've been endued with power from on high. Now, here when we find here and things over in verse number 8, it begins to say, and I'll read 7. And he said unto them, is it not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power? Here it is. I want you to catch it. But ye shall receive power. Oh, ratabashanda. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be, here it is, a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God wants you to witness unto the people and share with them what he has done in and through your life and things of how he literally has turned your life around, and now you are the workmanship of the glory of our God. Amen. As you begin to share, but he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is a come upon you. And so this Holy Ghost, which is God's Spirit, dwelling within earthen vessel and things, living within inside of you, that power that is inside of you must be released. And every time you begin to speak forth the word of God or make a confession about what God has done or is doing in and through your life, you are releasing that power to have his perfect work in and through your life. And child of God, we must release it as never before and speak it as never before. And each time you speak it and believe it and stand upon it, you are releasing the dunamis power of God. God, I believe in you to heal. God, I believe in you as my protector. God, I believe in you as my way out of no way. God, I'm believing that you're going to make a way out of no way. I believe that, Jesus, you are the door. I don't see how this is going to happen, but you are the door, God. And as you confess, daily confessing what you believe in God to do, he will do it. Because of the confession of your faith and you releasing the power, you releasing the dunamis that is down within you. Oh, yes, you got creative power that's working within you. That same power that created this earth is residing right down in your spirit, and you must release it by saying, God, thank you for putting food on my table. Thank you for opening door. Thank you for the salvation of my whole family. Thank you for opening the door and bringing my niece, my nephew, and my cousins out. Lord, thank you for my whole nation will be saved because you said it is so for my children and my children's children. And I'm claiming all of my grandchildren, my great-grand and my great-great-grand, and all of them to be saved because you've given me that authority and right, because I'm an heir of salvation. I'm joint heir with Jesus Christ. Oh, I feel the power of God. Oh, I feel the anointing power of God just exuding through this airway on today. It is something about the dunamis power, the life-flowing power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let it just flow. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'm talking about rivers just flowing out of your belly, child of God. Oh, yes, 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 child of God. Rivers of living water just flowing out of you. You know there's more rivers in you. There's more water in you. There's more life in you. You got to let it flow out of you. I don't care if you feeling pressed on every side. Let that rivers of living water just flow out of your belly. Just prime that pump and say, God, I believe in you. More of the bad news coming, God, I still believe in you. More of the report coming, God, I still yet believe you are a healer. And you're a way maker and one that make a way out of no way. I come to tell you, child of God, when I see my husband laying on that floor and things, fighting for his life, and life and death fighting over him and things, I tell you, it was the power of the Holy Ghost that reside down in my heart that I open my mouth and declare, in the name of Jesus, I declare life back into my husband, and I declare that he shall live and not die, and that the devil should not prevail over his life. I rose up and spoke it, Oratabashanda, because I know him as a healer, a way maker, one that's able to open doors and make ways out of no way. You know, I look even back over my life. I heard the Holy Spirit just say, share your testimony. I look back over my life as a young girl. And things. I remember growing up, and my grandmother Nim and my auntie, great auntie, would say, you know, we almost lost you as a little girl, as a baby, and things. And they begin to tell me some of the things that had happened in my life and things. And as they begin to tell me and things, I begin to recognize that how that it was such a miracle. My life was just a miracle and things, and all of the various health issues that I had and things, and how God just made ways out of no way. One other thing is that I spent the majority of my childhood in and out of the hospital, all the way up into the sixth grade. And with rheumatoid arthritis, I was battling with that. They didn't know if I was going to be able to really walk. I used to have braces and go back and forth to the children's hospital there in Chicago, Illinois, and things. And things had to travel. My mother taking me back and forth there, and had pneumonia, and it just was so many things that was just coming up against me, and just really fought for my. From being a baby all the way up to the sixth grade with medical issues in my life and things, spent, missed, and lost out on a lot of my education of the primary schools and things like that, and the primary skills and fundamentals of learning and as a young girl and things, battling with my own life and my own health. But I come to tell you, I had a praying grandmother, praying mother, and a praying auntie, and they said, we prayed for you. We prayed that you would live and that God would give you your health and things. And these people was praying for me. And I believe that's why I'm a prayer warrior now, because of their prayers and praying over me and praying and calling on the name of the Lord on my behalf. And just to see what God has done in and through the life of his people, through the vows of prayers and the medium of prayer, God wants to do it in and through the life of his people as never before. And we must recognize, children of God, you are a miracle, and you got a testimony that needs to be shared with somebody about the goodness of the Lord. And now that's why I run so hard for God. Because at one time in my life, I was struggling to be able even to walk. But God touched my body and healed me. And now I'm running for Jesus and running, been running for over 30 years for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And look back and realize that God has been there all along, and remembering the testimonies and the witness of my grandmother and even the witness of my great auntie saying how they had to pray me through because they thought they was going to lose me on many occasions. I tell you, child of God, the Lord has redeemed that time. He has allowed me now I can sit back and look back over that time and say, God, you've been good to me. He allowed me to just complete my doctorate degree. And I tell you, God is a good God. Oh, la da da bo. All those years that the enemy thought he had caused me to lose out as a young person, as a young girl of my fundamental skills and stuff, God has superseded and given it all back what the enemy meant for evil. And I tell you, the Lord blessed us to go and to get our AA degree. He bless us to finish high school and get our AA degree and to finish to get our BA degree in psychology and get a master's degree from in pastoral study and then to go back and get a certificate in pastoral leadership. And then from that, went on and got my doctorate degree and then from San Francisco Theological Seminary. I tell you, writing our books that and pamphlets and different things to get out to the community, I tell you, that's a testimony, oh, shalala bullshit, of what God would do, what the enemy meant for evil. God would take your mess and turn it around to be a blessing unto you. He'll take your test and give you a testimony. And that's what the people need to hear, your testimony of what God is able to do. If you yield your life to God and allow him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in and through your life, he will do it. All he's looking for is a yielded vessel. He wants to bring consolation. He wants to bring emancipation. He wants to bring liberation. He wants to bring salvation. And he wants to bring illumination unto this world. But who would stand up and share their testimony? Who would stand up and share the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Somebody needs to stand up and share the goodness of God. And so further, we have the assurance that our abundant life is an everlasting possession so long as we remain in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And let's look at First Colossians chapter number 1, verses 13. It said, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Oh, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of the every creature. And it goes on to say, by him we all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion, principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And that's the key right there. He wants to have the preeminence in and through our life. Give him the preeminence in your life and watch God do some phenomenal things in and through your life. And we must recognize, child of God, we must share. And we must begin to share our testimony and share what God is able to do in and through the life of his people and things so that they can grasp a hold of the blessings of the Lord. Because the Bible said the blessings of the Lord make us rich and add no sorrow. He is still yet blessing us. He is still yet making a way out of no way. He is still yet opening doors that no man are able to open. He is still yet blessing and performing miracles even in the 21st century. Miracles are still yet happening. Doors are still yet being opened. God is still yet making a way out of no way. God is still yet healing and raising people up. I tell you one other testimony. My sister had been battling with cancer, and back in 2006, my daughter and I, we went down and was with her, and we began to talk with her and minister unto her, and the Spirit of the Lord told me, he said, I want you to start to blow on her hands and just to begin to blow, because from the chemo, her hands had turned black and things, and I want you to lay hands on her and pray for her, and then to blow life back into her. I tell you, child of God, when we got there with her, I began to just begin to blow life onto her hands. I obeyed the instruction of God. I laid hands upon her and began to pray for her and things like that, and declaring and decreeing healing in her body. Not only that, we began to lay hands and begin to just start blowing on her hand in the name of Jesus, blowing life into her hands. And I tell you, child of God, I begin to see in her hand the flesh, red flesh, begin to pierce through those black-looking hands from the chemo. I tell you, she's seen it in her own eyes. She's seen it for herself of the miraculous power of God right before her eye. She behold the change and the demonstration of the Spirit right there before her own eyes. And I tell you, child of God, she's still yet living today. She's still yet riding her horses today. She's still yet now falling on her face morning and night, thanking God for what he has done and what he is doing in and through her life, because she's seeing the miraculous power of God. I tell you, we're living in the 21st century, but God is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm not talking about what I thought or what I heard from somebody else. I'm talking about what I've seen with my own eyes in my clothes. And there's one other thing, and I'll get ready to close off of here. I remember when I had to go on air and to pray with a group of churches from all over the United States. We was lining up and praying and things. And I tell you, on that Friday, we was going to gather that night. I tell you, I had a tooth. I was trying to teach that Thursday night, and I had this tooth by my wisdom tooth, and where it had cracked. And part of it was lodged in my gum, and the other part was just dangling out. I went to the dentist, and the dentist got there around 3, and when it came time for me to be seen, they said that they couldn't do it and things because I needed surgery to get it out. And I told them all I wanted them is to take this piece of this tooth that was kind of dangling out of my mouth, that it just couldn't be pulled. It needed something to be the dentist to pull it out. And they told me they couldn't do it. They sent me away. I sat there for several hours. They sent me away. But I tell you, child of God, I was faithful to my God. I said, God, I'm going to prayer, but you see this tooth, God, and you see what is going on in this tooth. I'm going by faith and trusting you. Well, I went on. And when I was there, I began to pray and cry out to God, just like I would do if there was not a tooth in pain or popping in and out of my mouth. But I tell you, child of God, I went on and was being faithful to what my God wanted me to do. And we had an awesome time in prayer. And lo and behold, that morning after the prayer, we had had an awesome time. I woke up that morning, and lo and behold, in my mouth, I found something that was in my mouth. I'm kind of like, what's this in my mouth? I opened up my mouth, and lo and behold, that was the part of the tooth that I wanted the dentist to pull out, and they said they couldn't do it. God had extracted my tooth. Oh, yes, he did. I still have the tooth. I have the x-ray that they took of it and things like that. And things. It was a number 17. I still have the picture of it. Number 17, God did it, and God will do it today just as I am and stand here. I believe God unequivocally that he's able to do all things but fail. If he choose not, we still yet will believe him that he hath the power to do it. He's able to do what he want to do, when he want to do, how he want to do, and with whoever you want to do it to and through. God have that type of power. And so I come, I don't know who it is that I'm talking to today, but I tell you, this is a blessed session and things, because someone needed to hear my story today on the airline. And I come to tell you, I don't care what mountain you face. I want you just to begin to speak to that mountain, tell that mountain to move out of your way, that you're going to trust God. If God said it, he's able to bring it to pass. Now, what's happening is I heard the Holy Ghost just hit me just there. He said to tell whoever you are that you are trying to do it in your own might, and it's not going to happen that way. You got to trust God that God will do it. You got to put your trust and your confidence, let it lie in his name, in his word, in his ability, in his resources, in his creative ability. However you want to do it, God, I know you're able to do it. However you fixing it, God, I know you're going to fix it. However you want to open the door, God, I know you're going to open the door, because you are the truth, the life, and the way. And Father, we trust in you because you are the door, God. Sometimes we look for doors other ways, but when you go back to Jesus and say, God, you the door, and things, I come through you to get it done. I come through you for it to be open. I come through your door, Lord, and things, because you are the door. This is what I need. I'm walking through your door, God. And watch God perform it on your behalf, because you've chosen in your mind to trust God. I tell you, I have lived a life of faith. I am a woman of faith. I have been gifted with the gift of faith. I remember when I had my car and when God started birthing out of me the ability to pray. When I first gave my life to the Lord, I remember I had a hoopty and a bucket. And the thing, it was all, and a lemon. They was all wrapped up as one. And things, a hoopty lemon bucket. And I tell you, child of God, I would get in my car, and I remember got in my car, and I said, now, Lord, I said, I need you to start this car and things for me and things. And I got in my car, and God started the car and things. And next thing you know, the car turned off. And then God began to talk to my heart, and I was able to hear him. He said, Helen, all you asked me to do was just to start the car. But he said, but I'm bigger than that. You ask me what you have need of, and I will do it for you and things. But if you ask me just to start the car, I'll just start it. But if you need me to do more, you ask of me. And I begin to learn how to be more specific to my God and cry out to him, because he gave me his royal sepulcher and said, come on in, Helen. You asked of me, because I know you will not ask to miss, and you will not ask for anything just to consume it upon your own lust, but you will ask that my kingdom will be advanced. And then because of your faithfulness, I will bless you with favor. I will bless you with benefits and load you with benefits and load you with blessings that add no sorrow. And so I come to speak to somebody's heart today. Get back in position. Get back to prayer. Get back to that place, because the enemy want to attack you, but you have moved from the place where God wants you to be at. Get back to that place. And things, come away from the allurements and the amusements of life that's trying to allure you and sucker you in and pull you in, and get back to that place where God can be glorified and that God can bless your life, because there's many things that are pulling on your heart, mind, and soul, and God wants all of your attention and all of your mind and things. That's not to say that we don't have time. We can't do our daily things that we need to take care of. No, but I'm talking about those extra moments in time when you used to give to God, and now you have filled it with other things. God wants that time back and things. Yes, there's things we must do. Take care of your business, but give God that time that he wants with you. Truly, I thank God that you was with me on today, and I pray that you was blessed on today. And truly, I was blessed just sharing and talking and sharing with your heart on today of the goodness of the Lord. I want you to know, as never before, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one prayer away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and ye shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. If you thrown in that towel, if you turned your back on Jesus, if you turned your back on the church, if you turned your back on the things of God, God is calling you to turn your heart back to them. You know, God is calling people everywhere to repent. Repent of their sins and repent of their iniquity, because he's soon to come, child of God. He's soon to crack the sky, and we must be found ready. He said that he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Deal with those spots and deal with those wrinkles that are there in our lives, and watch God do a great and a mighty and a miraculous work in and through our life. I pray that you've been blessed. I've been blessed with being with you. And I pray that God will continue to undergird and fortify you. Until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. Remember, God got it. God bless you. Bye-bye.